Hi, everyone. Welcome to Two Black Girls, our bi-weekly podcast featuring two black girls. Today, Nicole and I are going to be discussing this concept of compassion versus self-preservation. So in this episode, we really want to make sure that we're really thinking about when is it necessary and when can we be unapologetically compassionate, and when is it necessary and when can we be unapologetically interested in self-preserving what we need to for ourselves and for our own mental health and wellness. So we'll start off really with like a vocabulary lesson, just so that we can make sure that we're using common language throughout our learning and our discussion this morning. Y'all see, I went into my teacher mode just that fast. So when we are referencing compassion, Nicole and I are really meaning that to say, it's just recognizing the suffering of others and then taking action to help. So really embodying this tangible expression of love for those who are suffering. And then when we are referencing self-preservation, we're looking at it from the lens of preservation of oneself from destruction or harm, a natural or instinctive tendency to act so as to preserve one's own existence. And in this regard, you know, y'all know how I am about my mental health stuff. So in this regard, one's existing could be equivalent to one's state of mind. Okay. So we have lots of different topics here. Nicole, I'm curious to hear, I feel like in the beginning, we should kind of do like a either or type of like a choice thing, where we're like, for this option, do you think that it's necessary to show compassion or do you think it's necessary to show self-preservation? And just kind of run through it that way, and then we can discuss and build off of that. What do you think?
That might be the easiest thing. I mean, I'll preface that by saying it's not like a end-all be-all option. I definitely think it depends on the type of person that you are, because there are some people who work in extremes. So there are some that are going to like put themselves out there on the cross every time. And then there are those who will selfishly put themselves first. I mean, to the point of, I'm going to drive straight through this crosswalk because I'm late for work. You'll just have to stop walking. So I'll preface it by saying we're not talking about the extremes. We're not talking about the pure black and white people. I mean, perspectives of people, not skin color of people. So we're kind of we're kind of in that middle ground gray area, which is unfamiliar territory for me. But
I was going to say that. I was going to be like, Nicole, are you literally living in the gray today? I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, today's a gray day. Today's a gray day. We've had a lot of black and white over the last couple of weeks. So today's a gray day. So in saying that, then yeah, I think we go over like the main high points and which one to go with, and then like go back and kind of explain.
Okay. So then I'll kind of round robin us then and go through. There are just a few on here. I think that others will kind of surface as we talk through this. Okay. You know, there's been all this debate about how requiring citizens, and maybe I shouldn't use the word citizens because that's such a touchy subject in our country at this particular moment. So requiring humans to wear a mask is an infringement on our human rights. Okay. Do you think that requiring humans to wear a mask is demonstrating compassion, or do you think it's demonstrating self-preservation?
This is such a great answer. It depends. I think that it does both, actually. I think the reason you put on a mask, if you are high risk, or if you have children, or if you are in a particular environment where you're nervous about your safety, is for self-preservation. I think if you're one of those people that you think this is a hoax and you think that it's not going to happen to me, I'm clearly healthy, I just got tested, I can do whatever I want, we're all going to die someday. I think if you have that perspective and you put a mask on, it's more out of compassion for others. because in that sense, you have no regard for yourself. Somehow you think that you're immune. And in something like the coronavirus, we've seen all kinds of attitudes. So, you know, if you were the type of person that you think this whole thing is silly, but for the sake of others' fears of it, I will go along with it. I think that that's a very compassionate attitude, as opposed to those people who just blatantly, this is my right, you can't tell me what to do. I think it's neither self-preservation or compassion. I also think about those people who are giving out like food boxes, who do the packing, teachers, those people who are forced to be in positions or who are volunteering to do things, all of our frontline workers. I think that a lot of what they're doing, yes, it's for survival. You don't necessarily want to give up your job. That's your livelihood. But I think that there's some amount of compassion for people that goes in some of the things that are being done. I'm certainly not out packing boxes. I've tested negative. I wear a mask, but I'm not going that extra mile to go pack food boxes. And part of that is self-preservation. Though I have compassion, I'll donate. I'm not out there to that degree.
So do you think that there's a right or wrong answer? Like, do you think that, because I hear you when you say that, like, because I feel like you broke that down very well. Like, I think that the folks who do have the more self-preservation mindset. I don't think that's what I want to say. So I do think that you broke that down very well. I do wonder, is there a right way to handle it? Like, should people be compassionate regardless if they feel like they can catch it or not, or they've tested positive or not? Or like, do you think that it is okay? Because arguably, I think that the folks who are anti wearing masks because they believe that it's an infringement on their rights and stuff, they could say that it is self-preservation that they're not wearing masks, you know, because I've seen in the news that they've had all these like restaurants and these businesses who have signs up that say like masks are not allowed, which is very confusing to me. You know, like, you don't have to require it if you don't want to, but to say that people can't do it, I think is another thing. But I think, do you think that there is like a, I clearly think that there's a right or wrong way to do it, but I'm wondering if you also think that people should live in one lane or the other in this, on this topic.
I think that it's hard to argue against people as people, because I think that if we lived in the compassion lane, then you wouldn't necessarily need so many self-preservation rules. If we were all compassionate, then we all probably would have quarantined in the beginning for the sake of those who are high risk and not knowing how the virus would affect anyone's body per se. But we're not all compassionate and we're not all sacrificial. Some of us have to work. Some of us have to provide. And there are those of us who aren't willing to share. So is there a right or wrong answer? Yeah, there is. We should all be compassionate to the nth degree, and then none of this would be a problem. But because we're people and because we're not, in comes self-preservation. I have to protect myself because there's not universal compassion and universal love for life. And we've seen that across many different aspects. Just this total disregard for human life. Mm-hmm. So it's a complicated answer, but my answer would be yes, there is a correct answer, but we as people aren't going to do it. So
that makes me think about all the stuff that they make you read in high school. Like when you have to read like Lord of the Flies or Animal Farm or even The Giver, right? And you have this criticism around like having these societies where, in The Giver in particular, where you have this society where everybody has like, things are decided for you and everybody has the same equal opportunity and things like that. And then you have these other texts where they're talking about, you know, like survival of the fittest, and everybody doesn't deserve the same thing. It's a matter of like who's the strongest or who's the smartest or who's the, you know, whatever. And I do wonder, like, to your point, if we, you know, people are always saying movies and TV shows and books are fake, but they're not. So I do wonder, like, if we actually did operate in this space that you just described, where people really truly were compassionate, the need for self-preservation wouldn't be there. I agree. Because I think that, like, when you say things like, you know, some people do have to work and they don't want to share. Well, think about, like, the impact that that has, because if we all did share, then would any of us actually be so far, like, without, if we actually shared the things? Isn't that a real thing? Like, what is that called in government? Is that communism? What I'm describing?
Socialism. That's pure socialism.
When everybody shares and everybody has the same.
When everybody shares. Yeah. When there's like a top down, you must share to the point to where everyone's almost on the same economic level. There's no super rich and super poor. I mean, in its purest definition.
So what country models that?
Ooh, you're going to give me a history test.
I mean, if you don't
I do
know
not
this,
know.
Okay, because I definitely don't know. I just called it communism.
Listen, so to my listeners, what is my Montag? Finance is what I do.
I know, I don't know. I thought it was communism, girl. So, okay, but anyway.
I can tell you they're actively trying to make it not America. I can say that.
Right. Right, which is why we have these conversations in the first place. Like, what do we need to do? And there's this big, because like you said, it pops up in a lot of different areas. It pops up when we talk about natural resources. It pops up when we talk about education. It pops up when we talk about, like, just overall, like, when you're getting really into the nitty gritty around, like, food deserts and stuff like that, like transportation opportunities, just all types of things come with a lack of the all types of issues. Come when we demonstrate a lack of, like, compassion, because mm-hmm. we are more concerned about self and or family or immediate circle of people that we care about. So I guess that kind of segues me into my second round robin topic. Financial pandemic. Are people demonstrating compassion when it comes to that, or self-preservation when it comes to the state of our financial world in the midst of this pandemic?
Definitely self-preservation. That one would only fall in the gray area because obviously you still have the GoFundMe situations. You still have the churches that are wanting you to donate above, you know, your tithes and offering. You have people who are emptying out their houses with old stuff, still giving to Goodwill. So, I mean, yes, that is some compassion, but I think it's all derived from self-preservation. We are at a high savings rate. People are putting money back under the mattress, back in the backyard, back in high yield savings accounts at a rate we haven't seen in quite a long time. You know, we can go back to even the, I'll call it a food shortage. I don't believe that exists in the United States, but when your local grocery stores were out of things because people were just buying, to the point to where they had to put limits on, you know, two boxes of this or three boxes of that. That was pure self-preservation, not thinking about what the next shopper might need or what the next consumer might have. So while it's not that extreme in terms of food anymore, I think production has kind of caught up with where we are. I still think the attitude surrounding the monies is self-preservation. I can only imagine, based on what I read, the dire situations that some people still find themselves in. And I think that when you go into survival mode like that, that's all that can be considered. Again, I think some of that could be alleviated with some compassion. I think it's ridiculous that the government has yet to come up with a stimulus package. I don't understand why it takes so long. I also don't understand, if we're one of the richest countries, why we're requiring such high rents and such high mortgages be paid. But then on the flip side, we have a president who hasn't paid taxes in 10 years. So,
yes, he did. Girl.
I mean, it just.
He paid that $750.
Oh, don't yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Away from him.
I forgot about that. sorry to the Trump supporters. He did pay $750. So, But the core of it, which really saddens me about America as a whole, is that when you get down to the money part, it's disgusting how self-preserved we are. That's evident in the stock market and how it continues to rise, how the wealthy are getting more wealthy in the midst of a pandemic that's literally ripping people's livelihoods away from them. And then it's hurricane season. So let's factor in just the normal stuff that happens in September anyway. So I think that one is self-preservation.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I do think, though, like when you were talking, because it did make me think about, I know my church in particular, like every Sunday, the pastor shares out how many $100,000 they've donated to small businesses and to, you know, families and things like that. So I feel like that is an example of compassion. However, I mean, I hate to like say it doesn't count, even though I just said that, but I feel like it's the church, right? So like you expect that from the church.
Right.
So it counts because it's still a good deed and people are still being helped. But I think overall, like we got to get to a point where people who are not functioning in that way already are also showing that compassion, like you talked about, especially when you think about grocery stores. And as somebody who loves the grocery store, I love the grocery store. It frustrates me when I go and the food, because even when we do have products that are there, and we don't necessarily have a shortage, because I get so excited when I see that we've restocked on chicken wings, for example. I've been really wanting chicken wings for the last like 4 months, but I won't get them because I'm so cheap, because now the pack is like $15 or $20. Like, that's not showing compassion. If you already know that people aren't working, if you already know that there's this like conversation, to your point, right? Like the Congress cannot figure out, or they can, because you see how fast we're moving through with this Amy chick for the Supreme Court nomination. So it's not that Congress can't function. So like Congress is acting like they can't figure out what to do in terms of like financially helping people and relieving people. And so this is the time when you decide to make chicken wings $15, $20 a pack. Like that doesn't make sense, you know, especially when you know that people need these type of nutrients, you know, non-vegan people or vegetarian people need this type of like protein and nutrients and things like that to be able to like survive. But all of it, because I'm always watching, you know, one of the alerts that I get, because I love the grocery store, it's always like the changes in grocery prices. So they're like, eggs went up this week, butter went up this week, cheese went up this week, meat went down, or pork went down this week, chicken went up this week. You know, so I'm like, oh my gosh, like the stuff that we need is what's going up. Like, oh my goodness, I don't need pork to survive, but I need some eggs. You know, I need some, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's just another example of like the big companies and the corporations, like they should also be demonstrating like why we should have it on this individual basis as well. And on a small scale, to the point of like not getting four packs of something if you only need two. We also need to have corporations showing this compassion when they're thinking about pricing and availability and where they're shipping stuff out to, because that's also intentional. They're sending an X amount of number to this region and X amount of number to that region, you know, and also taking that into consideration when in their decision making.
Yeah, I mean, I could agree with the prices if I felt like there were more active food banks. So as these things were expiring, grocery stores, restaurants were more proactive in really making sure that they give that away and churning through the stuff, then I could agree with paying the higher price. Because as someone who can afford the eggs, if I know my grocery store is actively giving away the milk and the eggs and the bread that's about to go bad, you know, in 2 weeks or so, then, you know, I can support that continuing to function. But to know that we're still throwing food away at the rate that we're throwing it away is, I mean, yeah, it is kind of sickening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my last round robin that I have that I think is going to take us down a rabbit hole is Black America, okay?
Cue Alice in Wonderland. Here we go.
So, okay, let's start off by talking about just the state of Black America. So we can look at it from the lens of well, we know that recently they had the press conference and stuff like that as it related to like Breonna Taylor and her killers and things like that. And so that was like this uproar. One of my friends actually criticized me because she was disappointed that I haven't been really like watching that. You know, she's like, I would expect more from you. And I was like, yeah, girl, but I love Brianna, you know, from a distance, you know, and I want them to have justice as a family and stuff like that. And I want our laws to change, but it's not healthy for me. Like, I went into this space of self-preservation, to distance myself from just all of that, all of the things. I don't watch the videos anymore. I feel like I've said this before, but I don't watch the videos anymore of Black people getting murdered. And I keep up enough so that I know like who the people are and what are like the basic details of their cases and stuff like that. But to follow them and to get into like these debates about it is too overwhelming for me at this point. Because it's so normalized, you know? So I think that like that is something that I feel like could be a discussion point as it relates to compassion and self-preservation. I also think about it when we think about now that sports are back. I was also criticized by my partner. People are really disappointed in me lately. So I was also criticized by my partner because I've been annoyed. Like, so with the NBA games, they have commentators at the end. So Shaq, Charles Barkley, Ernie, and is it Kenny?
And Kenny the Jet Smith.
Of course, you know. So they have been talking about like just Black Lives Matter stuff lately, you know, and then you see the NFL trying to act like they care now, and then like the baseball people acting like they care now, you know. And I told my partner, I was like, why do they keep talking? Like every time you turn on this channel, I hear Ernie talk. He done read a poem by somebody about Black Lives Matter, and then Charles Barkley. I was like, why are we listening to Charles Barkley talk about this? You know, so I think that like that is me also not necessarily demonstrating compassion because people are trying to like bring light. Because this is what my partner was telling me. Think about the people who are watching this. This is the way in which they're also getting this information out to a different group of people who may not necessarily be watching CNN or who may not necessarily be watching, you know, CNBC. CNBC. Yes, right. So I get that. At the same time, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to turn on a basketball game and hear you talking about Black Lives Matter. Does that make me wrong? Am I not demonstrating the appropriate level of compassion in that moment?
That's a tough one because I share part of that sentiment. I don't like this whole I'm going to use this platform to dot dot dot. I have issues with that because the argument, at least with basketball, was if we don't play, then we'll be silenced. But will you? Because you're not exactly taking extra airtime to do anything special. Yeah, you're wearing the shirt, and yes, you're kneeling during the national anthem. And yes, we see Breonna Taylor's name, but how much money have you put towards the cause? How much have you put any lobbyists in our government? Have you, if I'm a white person who is callous to this whole movement, I have to listen to Ernie for a few minutes, right? I have to see a couple of Black players say something, maybe in baseball for a few minutes, but ultimately I'm getting what I need in terms of the sport. I'm getting what I need in terms of I go to work and can get away from this. So to me, if I'm not a BET watcher anyway, then you're just talking to Black people. So we don't need to know Black Lives Matter. We need a plan. They need to know Black Lives Matter. Like, is this on a country music channel? Is this on CBS? Is this on ABC during the soaps? It's interesting because I've kind of gotten sucked back into the Young and the Restless, but I say that to say that when I watch a few minutes of each episode, you don't see any of those commercials during that.
Right.
You see the political commercials because we're in an election year, but you don't really see any of that. You see it on prime time, TNT, when it's sports time. So who are we reaching with that? I feel very, very turned around about that whole situation. But I'm with you. I removed myself. I did watch the Attorney General give his we'll call it an explanation, but I'm getting grief because I'm one of those Black people who wasn't surprised. I'm one of those who said, I don't know what you expected, but being that she's number, I don't know, that's died from the exact same thing and nothing major has changed, I don't really know what you wanted out of this. So are we reigniting our anger or are we just not surprised? And so I guess I took more of a self-preservation moment because I can't keep letting my pressure get raised and then we go to a cooling period and then the same thing happens. I said that before Breonna Taylor died. I said that when George Floyd died. Here we go, this roundabout thing. If we were so hot about it, where were we when Sandra Bland died? Like, how did we get to George Floyd if it was that big of an issue? Mm-hmm. And yet we're at Breonna Taylor. And it just gets sadder and sadder, honestly. But I go into self-preservation mode. I feel empathy. I can't feel sympathy because I don't know what it feels like. I don't want to know what it feels like to lose a loved one in that manner. But I go into self-preservation mode because there's not enough of a change of heart amongst the people who need to have a change of heart in order for this to really turn itself around right now. So to go out into the protests, to loot stores, to be violent to someone, to express my anger, to me doesn't get me anywhere but further into trouble.
Mm-hmm. So I agree. And I think too, because even like, you know, we had our vocabulary lesson at the beginning, right? And it specifically says in our definition that we're using for compassion, like recognizing the suffering of others and then take action to help. So this thing that you keep talking about, right? Like, what are we actually doing about it? I think that's the part that is lacking. Cause like you said, like it is cool. Like I do like the shirts. Cause when I do see basketball players, when I do see them and I see some of them who don't have something on their shirt, I'll be like, what? You could have at least put education reform on your shirt or something. Like if you didn't want to have like take a stance as it related to like Black lives in particular, like there are so many other things happening in our country right now that are problematic. And you do technically have this platform where you could wear a t-shirt for somebody to see that like, oh, my favorite athlete cares about education reform or my favorite athlete cares about peace or love, you know, like even if you wanted to have some type of generic thing on there. So I do think that's a missed opportunity. However, going back to this word around like help, like how an action, these words action and help, how are you taking action to help? So that actually makes me wonder, how many of these folks who do have these platforms and who are speaking and or wearing these jerseys and or kneeling during the Pledge of Allegiance now, how many of them are doing this because of self-preservation rather than compassion, right? So like we could
good point, they good are point.
Trying to say that they're showing compassion and they are trying to say that they care about this cause. But in the state of America right now, if they don't do that, aren't they at risk of losing fans and followers and, you know, people who like them and stuff like that? So it's kind of like they have to kind of go along just to get along so that they can keep their stature and keep their finances and keep their, you know, whatever. So it does make me wonder and question how much of it is authentic, like how much of this is really because you care and you want something to be changed, and how much of this is like, I just have to do this so that I can continue to be able to play ball and like survive, you know what I mean? Survive in this state of America that we're in right now. And that's the piece that I think has me all like just tangled up, because I think that, again, to your point, like people were so outraged by this not surprising verdict. What's going to happen now? Are we just, again, still going to just keep looting and protesting? Like, I do think protesting is important. I'm pro-protesting. However, what are we coupling with this protesting? We've been talking about this since episode 7. I don't know if it really was episode 7. But we've been talking about this for weeks. Like, you have to hit them in the pockets. You have to hit their stocks, hit their profits. And not hitting profits by looting because people have insurance, but really like no longer purchasing from these people, no longer partnering with these people, taking your money out of these banks and these corporations, like really being intentional about how we are affecting their bottom line, because that's all that matters when we're thinking about these decision makers that you're talking about, that we actually need to be getting to listen. Okay. What are we demanding? Like those of us who are on the television screen, are we demanding that we have commercials that are talking about it? Because they're all on Aspire. Aspire TV, BET, MTV, VH1, OWN, they talking about it. But those, to your point, the people who already know about the issues, like this isn't new for them. So what are we doing to make sure that these other corporate, and to be honest, the people who own those channels are the same people who own the other channels who aren't showing it. So what are you doing to require that they show that same messaging of pro-Black lives across all of their channels and not just the ones that they feel like they have a black market on? We have much more power than we think that we do, but because we do live in this space of, and I think it's an issue just in general. Like as Americans, we're a very individualistic society in general. We're a very self-preservation, self-centered, self-driven society in general, which is unfortunate. So it's not impossible. It's not impossible for us to be able to do that. I will say though, that while like we may be arguing right now that in this particular instance, compassion is the right thing to do and not necessarily self-preservation. As a Black woman, sometimes I just want to know that it's okay for me to be able to self-preserve myself. I just want to be able to know that it's okay for me to self-preserve like my emotions and my feelings because it's so easy to inherit those feelings of others, absorb those feelings of others, take on a lot of that pain and that grief and that worry. And it's not healthy. You know what I mean? It's just not healthy long term. It's not healthy for our mental space. It's not healthy for my physical space. And so I do think sometimes we should practice self-preservation just for the well-being of our own selves because we do need to still be here and we do need to still be able to like support loved ones and do things that we enjoy and be a part of things that do bring us joy. But I don't necessarily know what the answer is when we're trying to figure out what that balance is. Like when and how often is it okay for me to self-preserve myself from harm? And then when and how often is it okay for me to actually like actively work on taking that action to help people?
All nuggets for thoughts.
I don't know the answer. I like to ask you these things because I feel like you're an expert in all things.
I mean, I'll sum it up the way I started. It's the gray area. It's spoggy.
So I think that like while these are not answers that we have right now, I do think that this is a conversation that we'll continue to have. We've talked in the past about just like being Black in America and how that has or has not shifted since the wake of the George Floyd I don't want to say suffering, what is it? Event. That's not the word I want to use either. Misfortunate. Well,
Murder.
it was a murder, but that's fine. So since the George Floyd murder, so we've talked about that before and this will come up again when we really start digging into like what does that mean for us as Black women and what does that mean and what are we wanting and expecting of Black men throughout all of that. And so that'll come soon. So that'll come in an upcoming episode where we'll be able to dig into that a little bit more when we invite some folks into the space with us to talk about it. Okay, Nicole, so what about your niche?
We're so fancy, we're able to get previews now. Look at us.
Planning. That's what happens when we plan.
Cue the financial sound. It's time for my niche because finance world is what I do. So we are on our financial terminology quest. I think we're at term number three. And the term for today is budget. So, what is a budget? Well, there are several types of budgets, I'll say it like that. But I am specifically talking about a personal budget, a budget you have at home for managing your what comes in and what goes out. That's the simplest definition. Tracking and managing what comes in and what goes out. So it's important because you don't want to overspend. And in times like this, when we are self-preserving our finances, we want to make sure that we are saving up the acorns for the winter in Squirrel Talk, because times are very uncertain. And I mean, it's kind of sad to see the white collar layoffs happening now after the fact, but believe it or not, unemployment numbers are on the rise. So anyway, a budget is important because it highlights any financial goals that you may have, how long it will take you to attain them, and where you are financially in your household. So the basic components or categories or essentials of a budget really is your housing, your transportation, your food, your utilities, your insurance, your medical and health care, and your saving, investing, and debt payments. That's all one category. So there are different experts that have, you know, targeted percentages for each, but I'll just say that highlighting each one of these categories, or, you know, the main categories of your household, are important. And you want to separate your needs from your wants, and you want to make sure that you factor in, some people say paying yourself, some people say saving goals. Some people have very specific occasions for which they're saving. Some people have debt repayment plans. You want to make sure you highlight those type of things in your budget. And each budget is different. You know, maybe you are a roommate, and so you have 50% of the main household bills. Then your budget and your targets, while they have those categories, will look a little bit different because you're sharing expenses. Maybe you're the breadwinner, so you bring in all the money, so you have 100% of the household expenses, so you really have to manage all of that. Or maybe you're just a contributor, and so you only have one or two targeted things. You know, you're a college student that's back at home, so you really only have the electric bill that mom's giving you, and then other goals that you're working towards. Your budget will look unique, but it's still important to break down different components and understand what you have coming in versus what you're required to give out. So that's a budget and why it's important and the components. And that's financial term number three.
Thank you, Nicole. So I'll add, because while I'm not the finance guru in any regard, I do like to nerd out with budgets because I'm a nerd. So I will add, I think that what really saved my life, when people used to tell me to budget all the time, I was like, okay, I get it. I got these big buckets, you know, whoop, whoop, whoop. But it really helped me when I actually started, like, literally budgeting everything. Like, instead of having, like, this huge miscellaneous spending budget or the spending category, like, when I really started narrowing down on, like, I call it upkeep. So how much money am I willing to spend on myself each month also? Like, if I'm going to get my nails done, can I also get a wax? Can I also get my hair done? Can I also buy some new, you know, like, I'm not a lipstick person, but if I were, can I also get, like, some new lipstick, you know? So I think that, like, by becoming so nitty gritty, it helped me to realize just how much money, even restaurants and food, I separate my groceries from my restaurant fund. Because it really helped me to really realize, like, how much money I was wasting in certain areas because I wasn't paying attention. So that's my nugget from a non-financial person who's saying this works, so listen, when it comes to budgeting.
Thank you for that support. It is important to budget every penny. That's a good add-on. Narrowing it down to every penny really helps you identify where the gaps are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, shifting to Sherelle's corner. So I'm sharing a gem today to make us better. The Mental Health First Aid group, I guess, organization, came out with a it's kind of like a one pager about self-care. And so they're talking about how important it is to really take care of ourselves first. So this brings me back to the conversation we just had in our larger segment about self-preservation and compassion and things like that. And the MHFA folks are arguing that you have to first take care of yourself. You have to first protect your physical, mental, and emotional health so that you can better adapt to changes, build stronger relationships, and recover from setbacks, and then just be a better support for those around you that you care about and who may need you. So they're saying that it's really important to create a realistic and effective plan when you're thinking about self-care. So it's not enough. And if you guys haven't realized this yet, like Nicole and I are obviously planners when it comes to stuff like this. It's not enough to just say, I have a self-care plan. Like, no, like, what is your self-care plan? Like really asking yourself the question of, what will I do for self-care? What are the things that I'm going to put on my calendar and commit to? Who are the people that I'm going to have, they have on here, who can I call at any time? So who are the people that I can call who are in my life to not only provide that solace when I need it, but then also hold me accountable to sticking to my self-care plan? If I know that I enjoy, I know me personally, I'm not a huge like exercise person. Because I don't like cardio, but I like to lift weights. So like the likelihood of me putting on my thing, I'll run 3 days a week is so unrealistic. Like I shouldn't even fool myself into saying that, right? But it's much more likely that I'll like go and lift a couple of weights or something like that, like really scheduling time to do that. I'm into my yoga stuff now that I told y'all about, right? So like making sure that I have that blocked off on my calendar and I'm honoring those commitments that I have because it helps me with my self-care. And then finally, the third step to the self-care plan that they have on here. So first is, what will you do for self-care? Second is, who can you call at any time to help you with your self-care? And then third, they have, who can I reach out to if I need more help? So really thinking about the overall state of being that you're in. Do you need to make sure that you have quick access to your medical doctor? Do you need to make sure that you have quick access to your therapist? Do you need to make sure that you have quick access to, you know, a mentor or a coach or any other type of person who's important to you who can easily help you to de-escalate or calm down or get back into this space of like reality, right? Sometimes we get so overwhelmed with just the thoughts and just everything that's happening in our country right now that we start to lose sight of our footing. So just, who can you call? Who can help you to see that like you are still standing on level ground and you're not sinking? And then they talk about the different type of activities that you could include in your self-care plan. So thinking about different domains as it relates to like intellectual stimulation, emotional stimulation, occupational, environment, community, physical, financial, and spiritual stimulation. So of all of those different domains, which ones are things that are near and dear to your heart? And those are the things that you've got to be more mindful about, including in this realistic, I will work towards a self-care plan. You know, like intellectual stimulation to me is actually quite important when thinking about self-care. As is not being intellectually stimulated. Like trash TV actually helps me with decompressing. So that's something that I would think about on both ends of the coin. Like I need to watch my trash TV so that I can just like forget about all of the responsibilities I have and I can laugh at these people who have these like ridiculously crazy lives. And then there are also times when I need to be able to like link up with some friends who I'm in a book club with and have that dialogue and that discussion and those nerdy debates, because that's also helping me feel better in a particular moment. So again, I got this from the Mental Health First Aid organization. They have lots of other tips on here. So be sure to check them out if you are in a space where you can handle creating that. And that is my gym.
All right. So we are going to close out this great episode. Reminding you to keep your mental health and self-preserve and be compassionate and manage your 24. That's a lot to have to do. But we know our listeners and you are perfectly capable of that. We also want you to stay healthy and sane and not to worry yourself in these crazy times. And to feel free to interact with us and ask questions via email. at podcast2@blackgirls@gmail.com, and to follow us on Twitter at pod2blackgirls with an S. And don't forget to leave reviews and subscribe on your preferred listening platform. And be sure to share your favorite episodes with your friends. Word of mouth is the best commercial you can have. So until then, we will talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye.